Welcome to Elevate with Bridget. I'm your host, Bridget Adofwe Japon. Today, we have a special thing we have to do. It is on gratitude note. And what I am about to do is that I am going to play an AI read aloud recordings of gratitude notes. But I will promise you that you get the audiobook of gratitude notes very soon, but I cannot tell you the exact day, so I'll love you to enjoy. But also, you can go grab gratitude notes on Amazon.
How are you doing? I would like to ask you this. What would you like to do with your life? I guess you have a lot of priorities in your head. You aspire to achieve your dreams, right? What if I tell you that you can work peacefully on your dreams when you apply this? Mostly, we have a notion that in order to be grateful for whatever we are doing in life, we must be successful. That's, everything must be working well for us. Let me tell you that you can be thankful and appreciative of your life even when things turn out badly and don't work well for you. You can face challenges and difficulties and still be happy and grateful. I believe that a grateful heart is a thankful mind. Someone might have a beautiful dream, but all of a sudden, a disease may strike to derail them from achieving those dreams. They might decide that I will never work on this beautiful dream again. I will start when everything settles for me. Even to the extent of killing that beautiful wish. Another person may face financial constraints or emotional pain. But it doesn't mean you should cease loving and working on your aspirations. Facing the realities on the ground can ascension you to a purposeful life, and loving the dark scar is gratitude. Gratitude is viewing life as beautiful even when it seems sore, dark, and void. Let the lenses of your eyes bring peace to you by showing how thankful you are even for the smallest and slightest opportunity and progress you experience in life. Sharing this story is a kind of appreciation you can show through helping others too. Don't forget to practice the life lesson enshrined in this book. Always remember that successful people always interbreed wisdom, knowledge, and love. Bridget Adofwe Ajiopong. I was sitting on my brown couch one cloudy Wednesday, late and relaxed as I reflected on my life. I asked myself serious questions that made me look back on the past, enjoying the present and preparing for the future. I just love doing that as part of my personal routine, since it keeps me on my toes. This guides me to move well, manage circumstances, and win big in life. I reflected on the things I needed to do to grow myself and impact others around me. I thought about my mission to help readers, fans, and followers of my brand, with a mandate to assist and encourage them to turn their dreams into reality and also empower them physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. I also thought about how grateful I am in life and how to become better and better every day in order to impact you. I want to see you living a thankful, better, and happier life while you achieve your dreams. If you have ever thought about gratitude and working in line with your dreams, they don't move together, right? I am glad to inform you that we need them to push us to do more with regard to our wishes in life. Our dreams must encourage us to practice gratitude. Guess what? You can never work well on your dreams when you don't feel okay or when things are not going well in your life. Being grateful is not about experiencing a problem-free life, but facing the problem and appreciating every step you take to fight, win, and turn the wonderful aspirations inside of you into success. Everyone needs to be appreciated. Every event in your life should be appreciated. Have you ever felt that you are fighting the biggest challenge and setback in your life, sabotaging you from working on your dreams? You can face these challenges and still be grateful in life. Whether you are in pain or fighting some restraining beliefs, this book, Gratitude Notes, is for you. Whether you are faced with a chronic disease, convincing you that your dreams can never come true, or you are waiting for everything to go well before you commence working on your aspirations, or you need the wings of kindness to help you love your dreams, this book is for you. You can still win big even during the difficult moments of your life. The power of gratitude can move you to places. This book will highlight and engulf you with the tale of gratitude and winning challenges. Aside from applying the practices to elevate big in it, it also contains lessons through the notes shared by Thomas Agre. He will help us with the nitty-gritty of his experiences by telling stories with the purpose of shaping your thoughts and mindset on what might be going on in your life. Sit down and get a nice reading posture to explore his experiences about the truth of his life and how he was able to figure out more, leading him to the truth of gratitude. Realization. In the side of my head. Each time, I woke up in the morning and breathed in the fresh air hopping in my room, raising two of my hands in the air as I stretched, I always remembered how wonderful and beautiful life had been to me. With a smile, I exhale, and I do this daily in the morning. I slept gently and peacefully on a white cotton bed, with one leg facing straight and the other one touching the calf of the first one, and my fingers touching the side of my head. I enjoyed the wonderful sleep experience in my brown and white striped pajamas. As I lay on the bed with a cool breeze coming from the window, something beeped and vibrated on the table. "What is that?" I asked myself, with my eyes still relaxing in every bit of sleep. "Oh, my. It's an alarm clock." The clock beeps at 5 a.m. After the first, second, and third times, I tapped on the metal button to stop the alarm clock from beeping and making a weird sound in my head. I raised my upper body as I often do to stretch myself. I breathed in and out, proclaiming how wonderful the day could be. It is yet another day, a new breath and opportunities. Having life again after a peaceful sleep is a great thing for me. Life just gave me a second chance. Oh, wow! I always have a cheerful countenance when I articulate this to myself. Indeed, I am alive. I am Thomas Agre, and I would like to share this story to show why I am always cheerful when I wake up. The only thing that annoys me is the horrible buzzing coming from this large round-size alarm clock, with the inscription in the center, "Wake up, you have life." This always speaks to me, but the vibration often pisses me off. These words motivate me to be cheerful in life each day. Before I share my story, I have to take my black hardcover journal with this creme paper filled with handwritings. This will help me to talk more about my story. Thomas dragged his body on the bed to the edge of it, stood on his feet and walked to the table on the left side of his bed. He took a black journal and opened the first two pages filled with an expression of his thoughts. He trolled back the chair which was nicely attached to the table, pulled and rested on it. Facing the closed aluminium glass window with creme see-through curtains attached, you can see the green lawn on the outside of the room. He drew the curtain to the edge of both ends to assist him in seeing the true nature of the environment in his compound. Everywhere looks green with beautiful rose flowers and lavender plants surrounding the whole atmosphere on his compound. These are the first prompts on my journey. I titled it, "At the St. Michael's Hospital." This is one of the life-changing things I often introspect about before beginning the first 30-minute moment I have with life, penning down all my thoughts, feelings, and the changes I see in life. Attached is a picture of me lying on a hospital bed, even more than lifeless in a coma filled with bruises and stains of blood on my face and arms, and with oxygen tubes placed on me just to give me life. 5 tubes linked to various machines around me to sustain my life. The beeps of the medical machines and equipment around me, especially from the monitor checking my heartbeat. The only person who held my hands, cried often, and fed me with positive words was my mom, Martha Agre. I could hear her sobbing, but she still believed in me that I would get well again. "Son, please, don't leave me. You know you are the only treasure I have. No one can take you away, even death. You are well." I could hear sniffs and whimpers. Sometimes, as she cried, I felt a drop of water touching my hands as she held my left hand firmly and brought it up to touch her cheeks and in between one side of her shoulder. If I was given the chance to ask questions or inquire from anyone, I would have gladly asked anyone around me but not Mum, since she was in pain. I would not dare ask her. I would have requested to know what was happening to me. I couldn't open my eyes, mouth, or even slight movement of my body. I was trapped. A prompt I wrote in my journal. I felt bad for letting myself down by intentionally doing things I knew could get me into trouble. I let Mum down. She believed in my dreams and what I possess, I mean my abilities. I lay down lifeless and effortless, as I could hear Martha sobbing for me. Inwardly, she was hurt. I heard a lot of sounds around me. People and doctors moved to and from my room to attend to me and ensure they used their knowledge and expertise to save me. It was like I couldn't stand for the healing process. People came to share their sympathy, leaving Mum alone every day on my side, for 3 months of tears and the hope that I could open my eyes one day. I really didn't imagine I would experience that in my life. Never did I hear any of my friends who lured me to do the unthinkable voices in my room at the hospital. What a life! Last thing I saw as I lay down was some metal cloaked all over me in the driver's seat facing me. I felt tired and pained to lift myself from this mess till I slowly turned to the left and realized that the windscreen was cracked, and both front doors were not the original size, as the metal was crumbled. As I struggled to lift myself, I realized that something had happened, and I smelled some weird smell from the car, a smoky-like smell. I whispered to myself, "What is that?" I hurried to save my body from the car, but I felt pain all over my body. I thought to myself, "I have to be a man to get out of this smoky-like smell because I don't know what will happen. Anything can happen." At that moment, I tried to rush out of the car but couldn't do that. "I have to do this slowly, otherwise something bad may happen to me," I said. Since I was lying on my back, I raised my upper body and dragged my lower part above the floor in haste. I did it twice and managed to pull my legs out of the metal door of the car. I turned myself upside down for my chest to face the ground and dragged myself slowly from the accident scene. I quietly looked around me to see if I could see people and scream for help. Oh God, no, only rocks around and moving grasses with scorching sunlight hitting my face. Not a single soul around. "Help, help," I shouted with the hope that someone would hear me. Damn it, I was only speaking to myself. Even an ant crawling by wouldn't hear a thing from me. I moved slowly because I could smell the smoky scent even a distance away from the car. I dragged myself again and looked back at where the damaged car was. I roughly measured it, and I was like 3 kilometers away from the upside-down vehicle. My strength was failing me. Suddenly, I heard a blast from the car which vibrated on the ground too. I could hear my heart beating rapidly, and my eyes were becoming heavy and difficult to open. I heard footsteps of people coming towards my end. "Hey, there is someone here." With surprised and fearful voices murmuring among themselves, I blacked out. The next sound I heard was a sobbing and grieving voice with a soft touch on my hands since I couldn't open my eyes. I wrote this in my journal. I felt I was going to die. As I dragged my painful body above the ground to a distance, I thought it was okay in case something bad had happened. No help was coming, and my voice couldn't hear itself even when I thought I was shouting. I definitely thought it was my end. I couldn't say goodbye to Mum, but rather I was bidding farewell to myself because death is going to carry me along. All hope was gone. Until I heard the blast, then I blacked out.